for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Chris. All right, everybody open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, if you would. I'm going to go a different direction this service than I did in the early service today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I feel like the Lord's just redirecting me a little bit here to put the emphasis on the right thing. And really, today is kind of there are times when there are all kinds of different messages, different sermons, and sometimes, we preach for life change. I mean, just to, sometimes we preach for in order to fix something in our lives. You understand? We say, all right, there's instruction from the Word of God, and we read the instruction, and we apply the instruction. However, one thing we've talked about here is that the instructional passages of God's Word only have impact after the proclamation of the good news that the kingdom of God is here. And so often what we try to do is we in churches, we make a mistake by just teaching, just preaching instruction, behavioral change, instead of basing that out of the good news that God's kingdom has come, His government is here, He rules and reigns, we can get up under that, and that changes our lives. And so I don't ever want to make that mistake again. Because, y'all, listen, one thing that we are not about as the church, the body of Christ on the earth, we are not to be about behavior modification. I mean, there are other professions that deal in behavior modification. That's not us. What we're about is life transformation. Now, as we are transformed by the Holy Spirit, what happens is our behavior changes. We begin to live and walk in ways that are in obedience to God's command, His Word, and it comes out of us. And it's a wonderful thing when that happens. But we don't get more Christ-like because we exert our own will or discipline and we are strong enough to make ourselves better. As we've said here many times before, Jesus didn't die to make you be good. He died to make you be new. And so it's that newness, that recreation then, that brings us life. And so everything we'll talk about today really is, and this isn't even one of those instructional kind of deals. Sometimes we get together, everybody, and we just celebrate what God has done. Today really is a celebration of some things that God has done that He did 2,000 years ago that we get the benefit of today. And so we're going to celebrate the church today. We celebrate the fact that the Holy Spirit is here. We celebrate the fact that God has made us a family. And so here's where we've come to. We've been going through this series for the last 12 or 13 weeks on Word of God Speak, Christ and His Kingdom revealed in all Scripture. And here's what we've seen as we've gone through the Bible. We've seen that God has progressively revealed His rule, His plan for His rule and reign on the earth to redeem the earth through His government here, His rule and reign here. We've seen that God's plan has been recreation all along. And that in order to redeem the earth and make us a new creation, He has brought His rule and reign, His kingdom, for us to get in on. Now, there are only two kingdoms on the earth, everybody. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And you're a part of one or the other. The Bible says that God has, for those of us who've given our lives to Christ, that He has called us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so, God has made His rule and reign. Now, let me just say this quickly by way of definition for those of you not familiar with this terminology, the kingdom of God now. You know, some of us have been brought up in a time where we were taught that the kingdom of God was just going to be, it was just heaven. It was just one day we'll die and cross death's river and then we get, that's the kingdom of God. And we look forward to that. And listen, there is a fullness and a fruition of the kingdom of God that we look forward to. And it'll be an amazing thing. There's a consummation, a fullness of the bringing of the kingdom that we will enjoy one day. But the clear message of Scripture, all the way from Genesis through Revelation, is that God has always been about establishing earth as a colony of heaven, establishing His rule and reign on the earth in order to change our lives and the lives of those around us. And so, that's why Jesus said, pray this way, Lord, let your kingdom come. Now, why would he say pray about something that was just going to happen one day in the eschatological, that means the end times, the big word for end times. Why would he say pray for something that's just going to happen one day anyway? Why waste our time praying about that? Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your rule and reign be superimposed on this situation right now. And let your will be done, and let it be on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus was saying, our goal in prayer is to see the world around us transformed by the kingdom of God, by the rule and reign of God. I met this week with some of my buddies around town. Many of you know we're part of the Opportunity for Unity. It's a group of pastors and churches, and Levy Knox at Living Word Christian Center, and Stephen Simpson at Covenant, Connolly, good friend. Connolly Bottishbaugh at Christ Anglican. Anyway, a bunch of guys, we met and we talked, and Jerry Jenkins and others. And somebody brought up this verse where Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's that recreation. So we can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I know all these guys probably already preached this before, but something struck me that day that hadn't hit me before. But, you know, Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, when something is conformed, it is molded by outside pressure being brought to bear on it. That's how it's conformed. Well, don't be conformed to this world. And what does that mean? That means the world is going to try to mold you into its mold by applying pressure to your life. Instead, we are to be transformed. What does that mean? It's a change from the inside out, because there's more than meets the eye when you're the Transformers, those who remember the cartoon. Okay. But it's from the inside out. It is a change that's on the inside that then is revealed as the change takes place, and you can walk in that change. So don't be conformed to this world, but our goal is to be transformed, to be changed from the inside out. This is a song we're just listening to. So that's one thing that God is doing, that he does that because his kingdom, the Bible says, the kingdom of God is within you. And so his kingdom, his rule and reign in our lives transforms our lives so that we can extend then and apply his rule and reign to situations in our lives and in the lives of people around us. That is why, everybody, we've seen people healed of stuff here that people aren't supposed to get healed from. We've seen them healed from Parkinson's disease and hepatitis C and all kinds of... We've seen people raised from the dead. It's been good. There's been good things here. We've seen marriages transformed. We've seen children repent and turn their hearts back to the parents. Why? Because of the transforming rule and reign of God that is available to us to change our lives. All right. So what we've seen is all through Scripture, God has been establishing his government on the earth, his kingdom that we can get up under. And it's bigger than the United States government. The kingdom economy is bigger than the United States economy. Kingdom, the king of that kingdom is bigger than any president, any prime minister, any ruler that any kingdom on earth will ever have. And we get to have the blessings and the benefits of being citizens of that kingdom. All right, now, we've looked at how God was revealing that and establishing that all through Scripture. And Jesus came and announced the kingdom of God is here. Basically, he said, I came and I've brought my kingdom with me, and I want to give it to you. So Jesus spent 3.5 years demonstrating the power of what it means to live under the rule and reign of God by delivering people, by healing them, by raising them from the dead, by forgiving them, by showing them love and grace and mercy. Jesus demonstrated life in the kingdom as citizens of the kingdom of God, but people could only get in on the kingdom if they were physically in proximity to Jesus and had contact with him where he was able to impart that to them. You understand? That's why they all had to come to him to get healed. Nobody else was doing any healing. They had to come to him to get, you know, Jesus went and raised the dead. Wherever he was, the kingdom of God was with him because he embodied that rule and reign of God, and he applied it to demonstrate for us how good life can be when we are in that relationship with God. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he defeated the enemies of the people of God. And what we know is this. Israel was thinking in those days, they were looking for a king, a redeemer who would come. and would deliver them and would defeat their political enemies, Rome, Babylon, Persia, and all these. And so they could rule as the number one nation again. But God had a bigger plan in mind. And God knew that the enemies of his people, the enemies of the people that God loved so much, were all the evil powers that opposed the rule and reign of God. Sin, Satan, death, hell, those are the enemies that Jesus defeated on the cross. He beat them all once and for all. Then 3 days later, after winning the victory, 3 days later, he inaugurated the kingdom and he brought into fullness that government of God on the earth, okay, when he rose from the dead. Jesus said, now the kingdom of God is open to all of you. All authority has been given to me and I'm giving it to you. Now get other people in on this kingdom. All right, now, that's where we find ourselves as Jesus now, after being here 40 days after he rose from the dead, he's about to speak to his disciples. Look at Acts chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 1, actually. Luke is writing this. This is the sequel to his... Luke had written the Gospel of Luke, and this is the next... This is Luke 2. This is the Gospel of Luke, part 2. This is volume 2 of the Gospel cycle. And so Luke was like one of the first ones to have sequels like that. So he writes, and here's what he says to Theophilus, who's writing to you. Look in verse 1. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And what does that mean? Jesus wasn't through doing and teaching, right? Until the day he was taken up, after he had given orders to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about what? The kingdom of God. So why would Jesus spend his last 40 days on earth teaching on the kingdom of God if it was just about where you what you're going to get to after you die? What's the purpose of that? We're going to say, well, to give people hope, to help them struggle through life, knowing that one day when they die, they'll be in heaven. Are you kidding me? That's what he died for, to give us hope, that so we can kind of hold on and struggle through until we die? No, guys, it's about power to live, to change the world, as we see as he gives them more instructions. Look at verse 4. While he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, at this time are you restoring the kingdom to Israel? See, they're still thinking in this geopolitical, national, geographical kind of deal. Because they're saying, okay, we got this kingdom thing down now. Now are you going to come wipe out the Romans and make us the number one country on the earth again? You can see Jesus going, okay, let's go over this again. Give me 40 more days. But they just heard him speak on the kingdom for 40 days, and now they're saying, okay, I think we got it now. So now you're going to make Israel number one again, right? Jesus says, yeah, no. Look what he says in verse 7. He said to them, it's not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now understand something, everybody. Jesus was not telling his people, his disciples to be witnesses. He was not commanding them to go witness. This is not a command-type language. This is a promise. He is saying to them, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go back to the city, and you guys are going to pray. And then, not many days from now, actually, it ended up being about 10 days later, you are going to be empowered from on high. You're going to receive power from heaven, and here's what that power is going to cause you to do. You are going to be witnesses to me all through the earth. It's just going to happen. Count on it. I'm just telling you what your life is going to look like. You're going to receive power, and you're going to be so full of this power that you get from heaven that you won't be able to stop telling people what you've seen and heard. You know, that's what a witness does, right? If you ever go to court and you see a witness, all a witness is supposed to do is tell what they've seen and heard. They don't have to be experts in forensics. It doesn't matter how many episodes of CSI they've seen. All they can do is say what I've seen and heard. In fact, they are disallowed from saying anything else, right? The court didn't want to hear anything else. All the court wants to hear is, what did you see? What did you hear? So Jesus said, you're going to be so filled with power, you're going to go out all over the earth telling people what you've seen and heard from me, what I've done for you. It's a promise. It wasn't a command. And he said, now just go wait. So after he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching in a cloud, received him out of their sight. Now, let me jump ahead a little bit. Peter calls this in Acts 2 when he preaches on the day of Pentecost. He says Jesus was exalted to the right hand of the Father. He calls this the exaltation of Christ. Now, in Philippians 2, Paul writes and he says Christ was, for this reason, he was highly exalted, and God gave him the name that was above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, right? Now, in the early church especially, Jesus being exalted to exalted to the right hand of God, it basically, this is talking about the place of highest authority. So Jesus has now obtained a place of highest authority that could ever be. And Jesus said, all authority has been given to me and I give it to you. Now, the early church equated his name with his authority. This is why in the early church, you know, the people, Roman citizens and the military leaders and generals were all required to say, Caesar is Lord, because the Roman Empire was full of people who were lords over lots of stuff and landowners and all this kind of thing. But Caesar was the ultimate authority, and so they said Caesar is Lord, because whoever was Lord, there was nobody above them. But the early believers knew Jesus was over Caesar. He had ultimate authority, and so they refused to say Caesar is Lord, because they would only confess that Jesus is Lord. And so their refusal to acknowledge Caesar as Lord really got them in a lot of hot water in the years to come. But they knew that Jesus had been exalted and been given this place of highest authority. So Jesus told the disciples, go back to the city and pray and wait. Now everybody, let me say this to you. Jesus said to them, tarry in Jerusalem, wait there and pray until you have been given power from on high. So they did. They went back. 10 days later, 120 of them, followers of Jesus, were in an upper room in a building. They were upstairs, and they were praying and waiting. And the Holy Spirit came in. And the Holy Spirit, now listen, for the first time, up until then, all through Scripture, the Holy Spirit would come on somebody for a period of time. He would manifest on somebody for a specific assignment. Then he would leave. The Holy Spirit went all over the earth. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Now, Pentecost was a feast of Israel that was all about the first fruits, which meant that they would bring in the first part of a harvest, and that was the promise that the rest of the harvest was coming. That part of the harvest was offered to God to say, the whole harvest belongs to you, and it's all coming in. God chose that day to send the Holy Spirit, because what he was saying was, I have bought all of you. And for all of you who will come into this kingdom, you will come in not only now, but you'll come in later too. And you'll all get in. I will do what I said I would do. See, all through Scripture, we've seen that God is the one who initiates the covenant. He is the one who brings us in. So on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit swept into this room. And the Bible says he came in like a mighty rushing wind. Now, something happened there. You know, this was all through the Old Testament. The word for wind or breath is ruach. In the New Testament, in the Greek, it's pneuma. And it means the same thing. It's the same word that was used when the Bible says God breathed into Adam and he lived. God gave him breath. That breath caused life. And Ezekiel, when Ezekiel saw the vision of the valley of dry bones, and God said, prophesy that the winds from the four corners of the earth would come. And the wind swept across these soldiers now that had come back, and the wind gave them life. See, Ezekiel prophesied in this vision. They stood up and they got muscle and sinew on their bones, but they weren't alive until the wind gave them life. Well, now this wind, in fact, even before this, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, had his disciples before him, and the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so they received the Holy Spirit through the breath of God. And so now the breath of God blows through this room, and these people, now their spirits, because they believed in Jesus, now that they are his disciples, now though, they become alive. And their spirits jump to life. And the Bible says that a flame appears over every one of their heads. That, y'all, usually through Scripture, the flame indicates the powerful presence of God in a place. It was the flame, it was the fire that led the Israelites through the wilderness at night. It was a fire that came down in the temple when the presence of God came back. It was the fire that came from heaven and consumed the altar, the sacrifices where Elijah had a standoff against the prophets of Baal. Fire represents the presence of God. And so now these people who've been believers in Jesus, something has happened to them, everybody. The Holy Spirit comes in, and now all of a sudden they are not who they were a few minutes before. They have received power to be witnesses. So what happens? They pour out of the building, they go out in the streets, where now, because it's the day of Pentecost, this feast is going on, Jerusalem is packed with people from all over the Roman Empire, speaking different languages. But they go out and they begin to witness to what they've seen and heard, tell people about Jesus, and in doing so, people who speak all different languages hear the good news of the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God that's now available for them because of Jesus. They hear that in their own language, and they agree with it, and they get saved, and they receive, and they come into the kingdom. And that day, 3,000, I'm telling you, an incredible revival took place because the Holy Spirit came. They got power through new life coming up in them, through fiery passion they recognized that God was present with them, and because of that, they received boldness to witness, to tell what they'd seen and heard about Jesus, and thousands of people were swept into the kingdom that day. There you go. Now, let me tell you why this is even better news for us. Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem and tarry there. Wait, I have heard churches say, and I've probably done this myself, in the past, we've said, hey, listen, everybody, we're going to have a prayer meeting because we need revival. We need power to live for Jesus. We need power. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to go. We're going to wait. So everybody, we're going to have a prayer movement for the next 30 days. We're just going to wait. We're not going to go out and do it. We're just going to tarry and wait for God to send power from on high so we can be his witnesses. Y'all, I have good news for you. That's already happened. You don't have to wait for that. You don't have to go tarry and wait. Certain people have certain manifestations of when the presence of God really comes into place in a real tangible way and kind of crosses a barrier, and we feel that God is really there. He reveals that he's already there in a real way. For me, it's when I'm in worship or I just really have a sense that the Lord is in a place, in a real way, man, I start to weep. Other people start to shake or tremble or whatever it is. But listen, the time is over, everybody, where we wait for that manifestation before we know we have power from on high to be witnesses to the kingdom of God that is in us. You don't have to wait for a certain feeling or a tingling or a shaking or a weeping. You don't have to pray and wait for that anymore. Y'all, listen, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power from on high to tell people that the kingdom of God is here. You have that now. There's nothing more to wait on. Now, there are times, everybody, when we pull away, we have a time alone with God where we really connect with him and the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we can feel boldness or power raising up. And that's a good thing. But what I'm saying is we can be witnesses for the kingdom without having to wait for that. It's good when that comes, but don't depend on that. Let's get out there and transform this world by the renewing of its mind, because we have good news that God rules and reigns. He's bigger than our government. He's bigger than our economy. He has life for us. All hope is to him. All glory to him. Y'all, listen, there is a kingdom that we live on, and people need to know that. They need to know there's a kingdom bigger than the government that they're a part of right now. And they don't need us to close our doors and wait for a tingly feeling before we go tell them. And then we lose our tingly feeling and we go back home. And they're starving, waiting for a kingdom. So, the tarrying, that's happened. Another thing that's happened is when they began to preach, people started saying, what is this? What's going on in the streets of Jerusalem? What is all this? So Peter, the guy who denied Jesus three times, ran away scared. Peter, filled with power from on high, stands up and preaches his greatest sermon ever. And he says, let me tell you what's happening. And he took him back to Joel chapter 2, a prophecy of the end days. And he said, this is that was prophesied by Joel. Here it is. Look in chapter 2, verse 15. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And he goes on. Now, y'all listen. Another mistake I've heard us make in the church in this generation is we've had prayer meetings where we've said, "Oh God, pour out your spirit on all humanity like you said you would. Oh God, pour out your spirit on your sons and daughters. Oh God." Y'all, can I tell you? That's happened already too. It's already happened. Peter said, "This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel." This is what he was prophesying. What you're seeing right now is the fulfillment of that prophecy. It's happened. Here's what that means, everybody. The Holy Spirit is present all over the world waiting to activate His kingdom in people's hearts as we share the message with them that they can get in on His rule and reign. Listen, there is nowhere you will go on the face of the earth where somebody won't get saved if you tell them about Jesus and they agree with that and want to... You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to show up. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've been to Thailand twice, way out in the jungles and sharing Christ with people, and I've never once had to pray with somebody who wanted to give their life to Jesus and said, "Okay, now you're going to have to wait about a week for the Holy Spirit to show up because right now He's in South Korea because they're having church, and so, but in a couple of days He'll be here." No, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all humanity. He's waiting. He's waiting. You know, can I tell you, you know who would be really fun to be right now? It's Chuck Norris. Have y'all been reading or hearing the Chuck Norris things, you know? He is the epitome of tough now, Chuck Norris is. And so I love these. One of them says, you know, if you spell Chuck Norris in Scrabble, you win forever. Chuck Norris doesn't have a watch. He tells... What is it? He decides what time it is. So, but one of my favorites though is is Chuck Norris doesn't sleep, he waits. And so y'all listen. The Holy Spirit is not asleep in the earth today. He's waiting. And at any moment when any heart responds to the good news of Jesus, because no man comes to the Father but through Him. And Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father except that the Holy Spirit draws him. The Holy Spirit is drawing. He's working. And as soon as He sees a puff of dust in somebody's heart, like they're running on the road to Christ, He runs to meet them and they are made new. Bam! Right there in the moment. Bam! They're made new right then and there. They are a new creation, which is what God's always going for after. Anyway, so... The early church begins to meet, and they meet together. And I want to show you one thing here. Then I'm going to pray for you a certain way. Look at chapter 2 of Acts. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 2. Verse 41. Also, another thing that's interesting, too, is when they began to share the good news of the kingdom in their language and people heard it in their own language, listen, that was Jesus also fulfilling what He had just said, "You will be my witnesses all to the ends of the earth," because what that meant was the good news of the kingdom was no longer confined to Israel and to the Hebrew language. The good news of the kingdom now was being put into the hearts of people from all over the world for them to go back and take that back with them. And so all of a sudden, this explosion went off in the streets of Jerusalem that sent the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth. So, Acts 2:41, "So those who accepted His message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and had everything in common. So they sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had a need. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved." Now, there's a lot there to preach on. I can't do it all today. But let me just celebrate for just a moment that God had established now a new expression of His kingdom through the church, the called out ones. The Greek word is the ekklesia. He had called them out and formed now a new nation with them, a nation of kings and priests, his people now by the blood of Jesus. From tribes all over the earth now had been drawn together by the Holy Spirit. And so you've got this early church, this young church, who goes out. And these are traits. Here's a couple of defining characteristics of them. One is they had devotion. They were devoted to one another. They were devoted to each other. They were devoted to meeting together. Y'all listen, this is why we meet here every Sunday. You understand? This is not just to get another little notch in our church-going belt or for us to get a certificate or to do our religious duty. We need one another. We need, the Holy Spirit in me wants to connect with the Holy Spirit in you. And when we come together, we encourage each other and we admonish one another and we pray for one another so that today we can come together and we can remind each other and remind ourselves that we belong to a kingdom bigger than any economy, any government we can be part of, right? As we've talked about. You know what that means? That means tomorrow morning when you open up the newspaper or you go on the internet, you start reading the news. If you read something gloomy, that means you have been reminded just the day before that you're a part of a kingdom that's bigger than what you're reading. Y'all, that's why we need one another. We need to bring this to remembrance. We need to encourage one another to stay strong. This is what Peter was doing when he wrote 2 Peter. He said, listen, everybody, let me just encourage you. Stay faithful. God is faithful. He knows how to vindicate his people and judge the ungodly. It'll be all right. Just keep pushing through. There's victory for you. There's a kingdom. God's in control. That's why we meet together. And so these people, they were devoted to meeting to one another. You know why? Because they knew they needed each other. They depended on one another to walk together through all of life's uncertainties. And as they were being persecuted and as trouble came, they depended on one another to say, listen, don't forget, I'm with you and we're together in a kingdom bigger than the persecution, than the suffering we're going through right now. Keep your eyes on the prize. There's a greater kingdom that we're a part of and better things are coming. And they depended. And so because of that, you know what happened? They ate their meals with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now you got to understand, this continued on even in the midst of great persecution. They continued to gather together and devoted themselves to prayer and to the breaking of bread, which is communion, which was enjoying the presence of God together, and in praising God together, which is worship. So you know what they did? They were committed to coming together, and not, as Hebrews says, they did not forsake the assembling of themselves together, as was the habit of some, but coming together and admonishing one another daily. They shared what they had with each other to say, you know what? We're in this thing together, man. We are walking through life together because God has made us a family. Now, y'all listen, that's just something to celebrate. Man, it is. And there are some of you in here today that I know from out of town. Man, we celebrate your church family. You need to celebrate the people that you do life with. This is why we need one another. Because if you pull away from this family that God's given you, you actually remove yourself from a lot of the protection that God has intended the family of God to be for you. You remove yourself from that protection of people encouraging you and blessing you and knowing what's going on in your life and helping remind you in loving ways that Jesus is in control and praying for you and bringing you food and mowing your lawn and all the kinds of things that the family of God does. And so don't remove yourself from that. Let's remain in that together. Now, they also saw convincing signs of and wonders of God showing up. And here's the thing. There's more I could say about that, but I'm not going to today. We may segue from this into Paul's ministry next week. Then we're going to get into more of today, and then we'll look at Revelation. But really, there's one thing that just kind of stands out to me today in all this that I just kind of wanted to bring home to you and kind of wrap up with it. And that's this, everybody. The early church knew what it was to receive power from heaven, to be the church, to be the family of God, to be incredible, strong witnesses. They were so filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God, with the knowledge of the intimate, close presence of God in their lives, that they began to see, and then not just through the apostles, but other people began to do. You read through Acts, and God began to call ordinary, normal people in to doing miracles. and you had Stephen, and you had Philip, and others who began to do miracles, who were not the apostles. God began to spread out this ability to do miracles and see people's lives changed. And here's what they knew, everybody. The early church knew that however much of the life of God they were experiencing, there was still more. There was more that they had yet to experience. Now, here's what I want to say to you today, and we're going to close, but here's the deal. Jesus announced that the rule and reign of God was here, and it came in Him. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for us to be citizens of that kingdom. Jesus Himself rose 3 days later then to inaugurate that government, that kingdom, to open the doors so that we could all trade up and trade our lives and come. You know, again, there's only two kingdoms of the world, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. We could come out of the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Jesus is the one who threw open the door by His sacrifice for us to come into that kingdom. And then once we come in, Jesus says, now that you've been made, now you've been born again, let life flow into you. And there comes, everybody, an invitation for us to receive in our lives the reality of the experience that the early church received in the upper room. The disciples had already been breathed on by Jesus and received the Holy Spirit, but there came a time later where they received power when the Holy Spirit came in power. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. The kingdom of God is here, but there is more of the expression of God's rule and reign that is available from my life and your life than any of us could ever imagine. The Bible says that Peter was so filled with the glory of God, with the Spirit of God, that people would bring their sick relatives out and lay them in the street, hoping that his shadow would pass over them and they'd be healed. Now, I've heard people say, well, it doesn't really say that that actually happened. It's just what, you know, that they were healed. That's what he did. I got to tell you, I don't think they'd be doing that if they weren't sure that was going to happen. I think that had happened once and they said, hey, let's do some more of that. And Peter's walking down the street and his shadow's falling over people and they get healed. So here's the deal, everybody. Here we are. Now, September 28th, 2008, Mobile, Alabama, 3350 Dawes Road, 36695. When all of us get to the point of our appropriation of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we all get to the point where our neighbors are laying their sick relatives out on the curb for our shadow to pass over them on the way to work so they can be healed, when that's happening in all of our lives, we'll have a meeting and decide if that's all of the kingdom that there is. Okay? We'll decide whether or not there's more. Until then, until that happens, can we just say there's more? There's more power. There's more authority. There's more healing. There's more resurrection. There's more healing of pasts and marriages and bodies and children. And there's more of the revealing of the rule and reign of God available for us and for our families, for our friends, for our city than we can ever imagine. And until our shadows are healing people, I'm going after more. So here's the invitation today. Do you want more? Or are you satisfied? Y'all listen, please. God, have mercy on us. Are you satisfied with a message that has been preached in the church for way too long that says all you need is to pray a prayer, get your sins forgiven, and go to church, and then muddle through until one day you see Him face to face, and there's nothing more you can expect? Salvation. And listen, can I tell you? You've heard me say, the greatest event ever in the history of the earth was Jesus' first coming and His death and resurrection. His second coming will not eclipse that. He's coming back, and we look forward to that. It'll be a wonderful day. But His second coming is not more important than His first coming. It's because He came the first time that we can actually look forward to Him coming the second time. If it hadn't been for that, that would not be a good thing. Okay? But because He came the first time and we received forgiveness, new life in Christ, that we can look forward to Him coming again. Salvation is, in fact, everybody, the greatest miracle that will ever occur on the face of the earth. Being born again, being made new, there is no miracle greater than that. But can I tell you, I'm ready to see some of the lesser ones. More. Like families being restored. Like husbands and wives' hearts being turned to one another again. Like wandering men loving their wives. Like rebellious children submitting to their parents and loving. Like parents loving their children. Like people whose bodies are in affliction because Satan is attacking them, like seeing them delivered and healed. There are some things that I want to see, everybody. I'm just telling you. And it comes as we proclaim the message that God's rule and reign has come to the earth in Jesus Christ. Our ability to partake in that rule and reign has come through His death and resurrection. Now that we are citizens of that kingdom, we have the authority to move in it. Peter says, we're going to get to this on Wednesday night, but he says, we have been made partakers of the divine nature. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live any lower than that. I refuse to live lower than a life lived at a kingdom level, of being aware of the life of God in me, the powerful presence of God with me all the time, in worship, in simplicity of heart, in gladness, and in power, seeing this world not conformed to the principles of this world. I don't want to see Mobile conformed by the world. I want to see it transformed by the kingdom of God. Now, y'all, that is the church. And that's who we are. 2,000 years later, that's what we're called to do. And can I tell you, in all reverence, by God, we will do that. By the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we will do it. There, we refuse to have any corner of our city unkingdomized. There will be no kingdom of God free zones. There will be no Holy Spirit free zones. Let me just say this last thing. For those of you like me, well, not like me, but many of us, you know, grew up in a tradition where people kind of denied that the Holy Spirit was at work today. Well, I don't know if he doesn't do that. He just did that in Acts to establish, you know, that Jesus was the Messiah and to get the ball rolling. Do we need it any less today? But people say, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, he's not active on the earth today. All right, can I tell you, if you reject the Holy Spirit, you're really out of luck because he's the only God on the planet. I mean, there's nobody else but him. And if you decide he's not here, then God help you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. He has been poured out over all the earth for us to enjoy the authority and the blessings and benefits of our citizenship in God's government. Now, not just when we die, but now. Y'all, let's go out in victory. One day I'll cross over and I'll see God face to face. But until then, I will experience the increasing presence of the kingdom of God in my life, and nothing will stand in our way. Amen? All right, stand up with me if you would. Here's how I want to pray for you today. I want to encourage you just to say one thing today. No matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter what your background, denominational, tradition, it doesn't matter. If your heart hungers to see more of God on this earth, if your heart hungers for more of Jesus in your life, to see and know and experience the life and the presence of God in greater measure in your heart, then all I want you to do is this. I'm going to pray for you. I just want you just to simply say, God, if there's more, I want it. If there, and I'm not even sure there is, but God, if there's more, I want more. I want more. And in doing that, you just open your heart to the Lord and then allow God to give you more, no matter what it looks like. Let the Lord cause the Holy Spirit in you to rise up. Some, you know, the different terms people have for this, I don't really care what you want to call it. I'm just saying, what you need to do is present yourself to the Lord and say, God, if there's more, I want more. Now I give myself to you. All right? After we pray, I'm going to ask our elders and trustees and their wives to come, and staff to come down front and be ready to pray for you. If you'd like more prayer today, if you need somebody to pray with you specifically, or you just want to pray further, then we have people who want to pray with you. They'll be standing around along the front here. When we're done, when we're dismissed, you can come up and get more prayer. But for right now, honestly, everybody, I can't think of any good reason why anybody in this building would say, no, I don't want more. I can't think of any reason, a good reason, why anybody here would say, I've got all of God that I want. I got all I need. I don't need any more. So let's, guys, if there's hunger in your heart, let's express it to the Lord. Father, in this place today, Lord, we, first of all, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit was poured out on all humanity. Thank you. Thank you, God, for all that you've done in our lives to bring us to this point, this moment here today. And Lord, we, God, there are those of us in this room right now, hopefully all of us in this room right now, that God, we're just hungry. We're hungry for more than we've ever known. God, we're hungry to see you move in greater ways than we've ever seen. God, we're hungry for more joy, for more love, for more life, for more intimacy, for more passion. God, we're hungry for more of all that we've seen in you to an exponential rate. God, we want to see more. God, we say today that none of us now, although you satisfy us, we're not satisfied right now with all that we've seen. We want more of you. And so, Lord, we say today we are hungry. We are hungry. Lord, if there is more, if there's more to your kingdom, if there's more to your rule and reign, if there's more that you want to manifest and reveal in our lives, God, we say today we're your people and we want it. We want more. We want more of you. We want more power. We want more passion. We want more love. God, we want more compassion. We want more tears. We want more laughter. We want more fellowship. We want more of all that you have for us. We want more. So, Lord, now, God, now take us at our word. Surprise us if you have to. Surprise us in the ways that you will reveal yourself. But, Lord, we open our hearts. We open our lives. We open our hands. And we say, welcome, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. In all that you are and all that you want to do, we give you our lives. We give you our hearts. Now and forever. Mold us and make us after your will. We want to be transformed. Renew our minds. So, Lord, now, manifest your presence among us. We are the church. We are the body of Christ, filled with the Spirit, empowered, endued with power from on high to take your kingdom to the ends of the earth. We are your church, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. We're dismissed. Stay for baptism in just a few moments. If you need prayer, we've got people down here waiting to pray for you. God bless you.